All right, Madam Chair, we are broadcasting and recording. The floor is yours.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday, April 7th, 2021 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. May we get a Pledge of Allegiance. Karen, would you lead us in the pledge, please, or do the pledge?
Gladly. Would you please silently join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Agenda review. Is there anything on the agenda that anyone wants to change or move? You get a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the agenda is approved as presented. That brings us to public comments for items that are not appearing on the agenda. So do we have...
We have one hand raised and it's Julie Tacker. I'll let her in.
Thank you.
You are available to talk, Julie.
Thank you. Good evening. This is Julie Tacker. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Thank you. On February 1st, I did a public records request from your agency for the legal bills that included Mr. Collins' work on the potential conflicts of interest related to the mayors taking their significant campaign donations from the unions. I appreciate the transparency in which the record was provided, but in perusing the invoices, I found that Mr. Collins charged the district $193 to review Ms. Austin's Form 700s that I had requested previously. Form 700s, as you know, are intended to be public record and should be made available with no legal review. And I find that this charge was unnecessary. And in hindsight, I wish I had asked the county clerk's office instead, as they would have released them with no legal review or charge to the public. So I wanted to make you aware of that. And maybe Mr. Collins can rethink things like that. That is so obvious that it was intended to be public record. That's the whole point behind the filing of your conflict of interest statement. And so I'm hopeful that that won't happen again. Thank you very much.
Okay, Amy, is there any other public comment?
There are no more public comments.
All right, thank you. That brings us to item 5A. That's the approval of the warrants and the approval of the meeting minutes of March 3rd, 2021. The consent agenda, is there any discussion on the warrants or the minutes with anyone?
I have none.
Okay, open up to public comment on the warrants and the minutes of March 3rd, 2021.
I see no hands raised.
Okay, then I'll look for a motion then.
I'll move that we accept the warrants and the minutes as presented by staff.
And I will second that.
Okay, all in favor?
I think we need to do a roll call.
We do a roll call on this one?
On all of them in Zoom meetings.
Okay, let's do a roll call, please.
Director Karen Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. That brings us to item 6A, consideration of fiscal year 2020-21 second quarter budget adjustment.
Did we take public comment on the consent agenda?
Yes, we did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There was no public comment.
Okay. Right. I missed it. I apologize.
That's okay. All right. So is there a report on, is there a program?
Do you want me to present it?
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and start, Amy. So good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. And I'll just briefly, I'm broadcasting over a cell phone right now. I'm on vacation in the Redwoods up in Humboldt County. So if I'm just flag me down if I'm talking, if I break up at all, but I'll go ahead and start. So the item before you is consideration of fiscal year 2021 second quarter budget adjustment. It's recommended that the board review the recommended budget adjustment and adopt resolution 2021-426 authorizing the budget adjustment. Amy will follow up with a PowerPoint presentation that goes through these details. And in general, we're not requesting any additional budget. We do have some money to move around because of the bond funding that came in. And so Amy's presentation will walk you through that, and we'll touch on each of these items that's covered here in the staff report in front of you. So with that, I'll turn it over to Amy. She can give her presentation, and we'll open it up for questions.
All right. This is the mid-year budget review for fiscal year 2020-2021. Can everyone see my budget screen?
Yes.
We're good? Okay. Good evening, board. This is the consideration of fiscal year 2020-21 second quarter budget adjustment. It is recommended that the board review the recommended budget adjustment and adopt resolution number 2021-426 authorizing this budget adjustment. This staff report provides staff's review to both revenues and expenditures. This quarter, staff is recommending an increase of $9,291,884 to anticipated revenues to balance the budget to reconcile the actual received revenues from the sale of the bonds. For fiscal year 2020-2021, the district budget originally estimated revenues generated by the bond sale for the district's redundancy project. Now that the construction costs are known and the bond sale is complete, the estimated revenues of $18,710,000 should be revised in the budget to show the actual bond revenue of $28,001,884 that was received. It should be noted that fiscal year 2021 district revenues include substantial debt funding for the district's redundancy project. This borrowed money is recorded as revenue into Fund 20. In order to adequately represent and evaluate the district's budget performance at second quarter, we will review both with and in parentheses will show without the redundancy project costs. Through the end of Q2, the district has received 127% or 54% of its anticipated revenue and spent 12% or 43% without Fund 20 of its budgeted expenditures. Staff has reviewed each account. As part of the Q2 budget review, staff assessed every budgeted line item to determine where revenue expenditures are projected to exceed the approved budget or where a surplus may exist at second quarter of fiscal year 2021. Staff is recommending increasing the anticipated revenues to match revenues received from the bond sale. To maintain a balanced budget, staff recommends increasing designated funding redundancy. This is money that was received in the current fiscal year, but will be used in future budgets. This will result in total revenue of $33,776,884 and total expenses of the same amount of $33,776,884. Revenue. Total district revenue received at the end of the second quarter is $31,113,419. A summary of revenues by fund is detailed in the next slide. At the end of the second quarter, the unmodified budget shows overall district revenues at 127% or without Fund 20, 54% collected. Due to COVID-19, school revenue is unknown currently. This revenue is reported at the end of the year based on average daily attendance. The district anticipated receiving $40,000 in school revenue. Overall, district revenues are higher than anticipated. Staff does not anticipate the loss of school revenue to impact the budget. Fund 26 is funded by transfers from Fund 19 and receives no direct revenue. Large improvement projects not related to expansion are budgeted in Fund 26. All projects but two are scheduled to be completed during this fiscal year. District's expenditures at the end of the second quarter stand at $2,817,528, or 12%. The second table shows without Fund 20, it would be 43% of projected expenditures. There are two accounts exceeding 60% not requiring an adjustment. Permits, fees, and licenses is at 68%. Permits, fees, and licenses are largely one-time annual fees. Staff review indicates that there is adequate budget remaining for the fiscal year in this category. No increase is recommended. The MOU with the City of Pismo Beach is at 72%. This expense is tied to an agreement the district has with the City of Pismo Beach to fund 50% of the preparation of an environmental impact report for the Central Coast Blue Project up to $113,400. The expense is capped by the agreement and as such cannot exceed 100%. No increase is recommended. This was your mid-year budget performance for fiscal year 2021. Total revenues are at 127% received, or 54% if we remove the bond and USDA funding. And our total expenses are at 12% expended, or at 43% if we exclude the redundancy project. In conclusion, staff is recommending the adoption of Resolution 2021-426, authorizing the budget increase to revenue of $9,291,884. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you very much, Amy. I'll bring it back to the board. Is there any comments from?
I have a question.
Okay.
Amy, can you go back to that form that has the yellow line or orange lines on it? That one.
Okay.
Yeah. You know me, I love these one pagers. You know, I always seem to have comments on these things. I guess my question is more for Jeremy on this. It's, I don't have a question about the numbers. I have a question about formatting. Going forward with the redundancy project, do we want to have a separate set or of categories that is just the redundancy project? Because that would really make it easy for everyone to see what's going to that versus what's going to operations and the things we normally do.
Yeah, the answer is absolutely yes. We can have that. And we do have that internally. We're not presenting it as part of this is our consolidated budget with everything, you know, rolled into it, but we can, you know, show that it's a big enough project, and we'll show those type of, on our quarterly redundancy updates, we'll definitely show you those numbers. But if you wanted to see it side by side, somewhat expanded in these updates, we can show it that way in here with more detail. When we do these updates, we can go ahead and wrap that in. Right now, there's not a whole lot to show because we haven't incurred any construction expenses. But yeah, we can show that.
I mean, we kind of have it, you know, we have the under the revenue. I mean, I guess it's, you know, we have revenues and expenses and all that. I was just trying to see if there was some way to, because it kind of is separate to everything else that we're doing. So I'm trying to think of a visual way to do that. It's not, I guess it's not really that important. So I don't want to really do anything that's expanded. I just felt like it might be easier for the public to really separate those two things. Yeah, but if that's difficult to do without keeping it to one page, then maybe I'm just being too picky.
Yeah, I think we could show eight more lines and kind of give a good overview of what's been spent in different categories. We have redundancy kind of lumped into eight categories of expenses, you know, the phase one being the permitting and environmental, and two, the design, all the way through eight being project closeout. And we could show those expenses with I think it would be pretty quick for Amy to do in QuickBooks just to pull those numbers and show them. And they would match the larger numbers that you're seeing as they populated.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that. That was my only question.
Okay. Thank you. Jeff, do you have any questions?
And I did just have one question. And Amy, if you could just keep it right on the slide, that'd be great. And so in per the report, we're ahead of schedule at the end of the second quarter with 54% of revenues and 43% of expenses. So that's a good thing at Q2. I guess my question for either Jeremy or Michael is the capital replacement maintenance line item. We're seeing about half of, or just under half of the, or just over half of that fund being expended. Do we see the majority of those projects getting completed this year, or are we going to have some carryover of those projects into next fiscal year?
A lot of those projects, it's like large equipment purchases, and those are in the works, and those should be done by the end of this fiscal year.
Great. So our budgets and our actuals are appearing to be pretty close this year, notwithstanding the school fees. So which is good budgeting.
Okay. We'll open this up to public comment now. Is there any public comment on the budget review?
I see no public comment.
Okay. Then I'll bring it back to the board. Does anyone want to make a motion?
Trying to get to the right spot. I'm clicking randomly by accident. I would move that we authorize and adopt the resolution number 2021-426, authorizing the budget adjustment as presented.
And I will second that.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very good. All right. Thank you for that. And we'll move on now to item 6B. That's the award to contract for the digester number 2 rehabilitation project to Spies Construction. Authorize a specific contingency, authorize the district administrator to execute a contract amendment and approve and authorize the district administrator to enter into a professional services agreement for construction phase services. So you have the report.
Yeah, just give me a second. I'm going to share my screen here. How does that look?
That you're sharing. There it is.
Okay. Let's see. Is it full screen mode? How's that?
There it is.
Okay. Does that look okay?
I see it okay. Everybody else.
Here we go. Okay. Now I'm to the item. Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. The item before you today is to award a contract for the digester number 2 rehabilitation project to Spies Construction Company Incorporated, authorize a specific contingency, authorize the district administrator to execute a contract amendment, and approve and authorize the district administrator to enter into a professional services agreement for construction phase services. Staff's recommendation is to award a contract for the digester number 2 rehabilitation project to Spies Construction in the amount of $297,000, $297,350. And authorize the district administrator to approve a specific contingency for this project up to 15% of the total project amount for a total potential amount of $341,953. Authorize the district administrator to execute a contract amendment for design and bid phase support for the digester number 2 rehabilitation project with MKN and Associates in the amount of $7,744. For a total amended amount of $31,645, and approve and authorize the district administrator to enter into a professional services agreement with MKN and Associates for construction phase services for the digester number 2 rehabilitation project in the amount of $41,309. Whew, okay. some background and discussion. On December 10th, 2020, the district completed the digester number 2 cleaning project. Following the completion of the cleaning project, the district performed an evaluation to assess the integrity of the exterior and interior coating of digester number 2 and determine repairs necessary for continued operation. The evaluation also evaluated additional repairs or improvements beneficial for the district to perform while the digester is offline, including necessary valve replacements and potential safety improvements. Upon completion of the evaluation technical memorandum by the district's consultants, the district decided to move forward and perform necessary repairs recommended in the evaluation. The digester number 2 rehabilitation evaluation initially identified spot repair of the existing interior coating, spot repair of the existing exterior coating, caulking of the rafter and roof interface, removing and installing 12 new plug valves, remove and install 3 new check valves, remove existing and furnish and install new stainless steel stair treads to improve stairway safety, install new 8-inch sampling tube and cover, extend 6-inch sampling tube by welding steel pipe extension, and install dielectric isolation kits between dissimilar metal connections on stair support structure. Following the initial evaluation and completion of final plans and specifications for the rehab project, the district and its consultant observed additional failures of the interior coating of digester number 2. Due to these additional failures, the district revised the scope of work in the rehab project to include the repair of the entire interior surface of digester number 2. The revised designs, design and specifications were not included in MKN and Associates' scope of work for the design and bid phase support, therefore requiring an amendment to the professional service agreement of $7,744. The bid opening for the rehab project was held on March 26th, 2 p.m., with 2 bids received in the amount of $297,000, $297,350, and $387,100. The engineer's range of probable construction costs was $350,000 to $400,000. Speece Construction Company posted the lowest qualified bid of $297,350. The bid and all related documents were evaluated by the district's consultant. After completing their review, the district's consultant recommended the district award the digester number 2 cleaning project to Speece Construction. Staff concurs with this recommendation and that the bid meets all the district's requirements. Staff is also requesting that the board authorize the district administrator to approve a specific contingency for this project up to 15% of the total project amount for a total potential project amount of $341,953. In addition, staff is requesting approval and authorization to enter into a professional services agreement with MKN and Associates for construction phase services for the digester number 2 rehab project in the amount of $41,309 to oversee construction efforts. The project is anticipated to take 40 working days to complete following the issuance of a notice to proceed. Some fiscal considerations. There is adequate budget included in the adopted budget for fiscal year 2020-2021 under Fund 26, Digester Cleaning and Coating. And with that, that concludes my staff report, and I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
Okay, are there any questions? Anyone have anything? Yes, Karen.
I have a quick one. I understand all of this. I understand the need. Thank you for the solid staff report. My only question is, are we always doing 15%? Or in my mind, a typical contingency is 10%. So can you address that, please?
It tends to vary. I think with as low as the low bid was with the engineer's estimate, we just kind of wanted to be safe. And so we made that 15%.
So are you anticipating change orders?
We aren't anticipating change orders. The specs and documents were pretty clear and concise. It's just kind of a safety precaution.
Okay. All right, thank you. That was my only question.
Okay. Do you have
And I did have one question. So seeing that MKN did the plans, the design plans, and is proposed for a contract this evening for construction phase services, I see a subconsultant to MKN named CSI Services to provide inspection services. And just to kind of ensure that there's a non-conflicted set of eyes, was there any consideration of actually just entering into a specific agreement with CSI separately between the district and CSI to do those construction level inspections so that our designer and our construction manager are not under the same contract?
I did not consider that. MKN does work with CSI a lot, but I think in the future I'll take that into account and look at possibly kind of separating that so there is no conflict.
Okay. So when this will start, Michael?
If it's approved today, we plan on notifying them of the award tomorrow, and then the notice to proceed will be issued on Monday, the 12th.
This will run concurrent with the redundancy program.
Yes, and we discussed this with our construction management team and with the construction company directly, just so there wasn't any conflict between the two contractors being on site, and they were okay with it.
Okay. All right. Let's open
it. I've got a follow-up based on Jeff's question.
Okay.
So, Michael, maybe you misspoke, but the words that you said was that you would separate them next time so that there was no conflict, and that answer implies there is a conflict.
Yeah, no, that's not what I meant. Just if there is no conflict, our design team and the inspectors typically work together. I did misspeak on that. There is no conflict whatsoever.
And Jeremy's unmuted, so
I'll jump in here real quick to just help out, and I'll even lean on Keith a little bit when I'm done here to speak to this isn't a conflict situation as far as a legal conflict. What we have here is a specialty inspector that does coating inspections, so that's a real unique niche, and that's what the CSI, that's a coating, it's coating something inspection company, and so they're a sub consultant to check that the coating is being applied properly on the steel digester and the proper thickness, the atmospheric conditions are appropriate for painting that particular day. And so that's part of the construction services. So we have MKN doing the general oversight of the work. And then the specific coding work is being done by CSI. And they also did the inspection and made the recommendation of the spot repairs. But that structure in itself is not a conflict. And we could, and what I believe Director Lee is speaking to, is we could let these separately, and it all comes down to job size. And you start looking into jobs $1 million plus, you would want to split consultants out more frequently. And smaller jobs, you would want them to form a team and do it under one contract. So it's just a little bit of balancing work. And so, Keith, can you speak a little bit to whether there's a conflict of having the two consultants under one contract?
Yes, so there is no legal conflict under these facts. Typically, you'll find a conflict of interest when there are public officials involved, or maybe under 1090 when there's a design build type of situation where the designer would also be the builder, but that's not what we have here.
And maybe if I might, Madam Chair, and I thank you for the explanation from both from all three gentlemen, maybe one of my maybe a better way to express my question is either Michael or Jeremy is going to be the quality assurance oversight from the district standpoint, that we're not relying solely upon MKN. And I think I kind of transferred as I was reading through the staff report to CSI being the inspector. that, yes, it does get broken down into the specialty inspection. So, but from a quality control standpoint, the district is not solely relying upon MKN to be our eyes and ears. They are basically construction administration with construction management being by internal staff. Is that a better way to express that?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, get that. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, everyone. Let's open this to public comment now.
I see no hands raised in the public comment.
Okay, then we'll bring it back and see if we can get a motion here. Does anyone want to make a motion to...
I just needed to get back to the right page, so I can go ahead and do that. And so question for Keith on this one. Can I just say, make a motion for staff's recommendation, or do we need to take all four separately?
You can make a motion to include all of them in one fell swoop.
I will make a motion to move staff's recommendation forward for this project.
Second.
May we get a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russell?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for the nice report. That brings us now to District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. So.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. And so I've got a brief update here, and then I'll turn it over to Michael for the operations report.
Okay.
I've attached some photos. Are you guys hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen so I can go through these photos here. And let me do that. I think it would work a little better here. Can everybody see the?
Yes.
Okay. So, and then Central Coast Blue, the inspection well testing is complete. That completed about 10 days ago. Site restoration is ongoing with expected completion on 4/16. I think that's next Friday. Couple miscellaneous items. We have negotiations with SEIU, our collective bargaining group that represent the operators at the plant. Our first meeting is on April 13th with them. The NBS will be mailing a public mailer to the residents of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande in mid-April. And on that, I will be making a presentation. I reached out based on Lon George's comments at the last meeting to Whitney McDonald at the city of Arroyo Grande. And I will be making a presentation at the May 11th meeting to just go over the process that we're taking to move these the rates and charges to the tax rolls, and to answer any questions that the members or the regular attendees of the AG City Council might have on the process that we're taking and why it's necessary or why we're taking it, not that it's entirely necessary.
Jeremy, I've got a question about that.
Sure.
So when you and I talked after the last meeting, I don't believe this board has actually given direction to move forward on that officially. We gave direction to start the conversations with the city managers, but I don't believe we gave specific direction to actually do it.
But yeah, so let's pause then and take a look, because I will want to clarify. So where we're at in the process right now is this decision. I may be mistaken, Director Ray Russum, is. We do need direction from the board, obviously, to move forward. The decision is ultimately made by the ratepayers. When we ask them if they want to do this, And so that's the process that is moving right now. And if we want to, if you would like me to bring something back to formalize that, that we have direction by this board to continue with that, I will do that at the next meeting to make sure that it is the will of this board to continue down that process.
I would, and the reason why is because our councils need a chance to hear this. It's a big thing. And so if you've got public mailers going out before we make that decision, I think we need to hold those back.
Okay.
Because the public, the council, we need to take the action to actually, you know, put that question to the ratepayers, which we haven't done yet. And we're going to send something out before we take that action. We've kind of got a cart before the horse thing.
And I'm totally okay with pausing that. I do want to say that, and this isn't, it doesn't mean we shouldn't pause. I believe there's good reason to pause, but that may put us into the following fiscal to get it executed, just because it's only July to hit these processes to start putting stuff on the tax roll. And so we're kind of on a schedule to do that. But if we pause, it may mean a full fiscal year pause. But there's no ramification from doing that, or no meaningful ramification from hitting that pause button for a full fiscal year.
I would prefer, and I wonder if Grover Beach would also like to entertain this publicly before we take that action as well. So Director Lee can hear from his council as well.
And I did reach out to them as well, and it was a different response. And I'll let Director Lee speak to that.
So, yeah, thank you. And to Mayor Ray Russom's point, I do think we are a little bit cart before the horse with respect to this. I have expressed it during South Sand District updates, and the Grover Council has indicated it's a decision of this board. But if I'm understanding correctly, the way Jeremy mentioned it this evening is that it's actually a question for the ratepayers. And so I think I'm a little confused as to how the process works. I was anticipating it would be a directive from this board rather than from the ratepayers. And so, yeah, so pause to have that conversation would be beneficial for Grover as well.
Okay, Jeremy.
So the process to explain a little bit, and NBS attempted to speak to this at the last meeting, is we set a public hearing at our board, and we notice that public hearing and send out these mailers to notify the public that there's going to be hearing, because we're going to consider making this change at this public hearing. And so that's what that mailer does, is notifies everybody that the board is, and that's actually attached here as well in my administrator's report. And you can see the draft of that mailer. But I agree. Like it did seem that there's some board members and some councils that have some concerns and may want to pause and take a look at this and consider some things before moving forward. And we can still do that. But I think we need to decide that now, so that I can obviously let MBS know not to mail those next week.
And Jeremy, I wouldn't characterize it as concerns that we have, but that there's a process in it, and we want to make sure that the ratepayers are brought along in the decision, and that people don't get surprised by any of it. So I think that's really a once you come and give that presentation as requested, I think everything's going to be fine. I don't want to give the impression that there's a whole lot of dissent. It's just that I think we need to follow process and make sure that we actually give the direction to have that public hearing and put that noticing out there, which we haven't done, and it's not been agendized yet.
Okay. Understood.
Okay. So.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and continue with my administrator's report.
Sorry, Jeremy, just a quick clarification of it, if I might, Madam Chair. And so just to Karen's question. So ultimately the question before us this evening for that, or for next time, would be whether this board would have a public hearing. And but in advance of that, Roy Grande is requesting a presentation to provide direction to you as the representative, or just to provide information to the public. I guess I'm confused, because it ultimately would be a public hearing before this board, correct?
I understood the first part of your question, but not the last thing you said. It is to bring our taxpayers along, notify anyone, and just make sure that nobody's got any concerns, and that we hear publicly from our city managers about their response. We haven't had that discussion either. So it's just for informational purposes. And if I get unexpected direction, I certainly want to know about it. So this is not a small thing. It might be a small thing from our point of view over here, but when people get surprises on their tax rolls, that's not a small thing. And I want to make sure that we bring the public along in the process, just so they don't feel surprised by any of it. So we have already talked to Jeremy about coming over and having that conversation with us. So that's all in the works. And again, I don't want to give the impression that there's any, you know, expected monkey wrench, but there's just process we need to go through, I think.
So then the steps would be Jeremy would go give the presentation, and then our public hearing would come after that, and then the notices would go out. Is that?
The notices are prior to the public hearing.
Notices are prior to the public hearing. Okay.
But we would, I think, Linda, yeah. What you missed was that we would give direction that those public notices would go out, and that we are going forward once we've heard from the city managers and all of that. And we've all, the board hasn't given that direction to do that yet.
Okay. All right. So you have your direction, Jeremy, then?
I do.
All right. Then you want to continue with your?
Sure. Yes, I'll continue. I did want to point out that to the June 16th date as a potential second monthly meeting in June. It's quite a robust agenda already kind of lined out. We have our budget to adopt that we need to be adopted before July. So just wanted to give you early notice and ask you to hold that date since it's early summer and a lot of people like to plan vacations and such. So no plant tours, still suspended under the COVID-19 restrictions. A couple tentative items coming up: closed session conference on SEIU negotiations. We'll sit down in closed session and go over what's being asked for from the union and get some guidance from the board. Redundance quarterly update number 2, that's anticipated for the June 2nd meeting, along with the 2021-2022 district budget. My contract needs to be renewed. It was adopted with a 3-year term, so I'll be bringing that back. It runs through July 2nd, so I'll be bringing that back at one of these, either the May or the June meeting. The resolutions, rates and charges on a tax roll. Now that's a TBD now, with the earlier discussion. And then, we also have our resolution for the non-represented employees at the district, to adopt any changes to their salaries and benefits. And so with that, I'm going to scroll down here through some of the photos, that we have here. Hopefully these get a little bigger. And so this is the back part of the plant, the contractor lay down area. This is some initial clearing and leveling that they did prior to moving in. You can see here they're demoing the curb and gutter along the plant access drive. Here, this is a shot Michael took from up on the fixed film reactor. Again, just more of the curb removal with the excavator there in the distance. This is back out at the back site in the lay down area where they leveled some stuff out. This is removal of the pavement on the access drive to the maintenance building. Here's a shot of them offloading some PG&E vaults, power vaults that go in the ground. And then here's a shot of the temporary roadway. You can kind of see the gray gravel on the right of the shot there, and then all the turf removed out in the distance. And so that takes me through my presentation. And with that, I'll open it up for questions and then turn it over to Michael for his plant operations report.
Okay, are there any questions for Jim? Go ahead.
And thank you, Jeremy. And just to kind of go back to the public hearing, just a logistical question. So realizing that the presentation before the AG City Council would be before a potential second meeting in May, would that be a possibility, assuming that Aurora Grande and Grover don't give unexpected direction? On that, would it be necessary or feasible to have a second meeting in May and still meet the July 1st schedule, or would that be cutting the time frame too close?
And that's precisely what I'm going to do, Director Lee. Is I need to circle back around with MBS and look at some of these cutoff dates and see if there's a way that we can still get a more robust public outreach that we definitely want to do and still make this fiscal year. But again, I'll go back to that being said, if we're status quo for another fiscal year, I don't know that it causes anybody any problems. Just long term, there's a substantial upside to moving to the tax roll collections, and we want to make that happen. So yeah, if we don't make this fiscal year, we'll continue down the process and get everybody's educated and brought up to speed and do it in another fiscal.
So Jeremy, we could certainly, I imagine, have you at our second meeting in April, able to get us back on the schedule. I mean, just at the next regularly scheduled sanitation district meeting, is that too close?
No, it's I can make the presentation on short order, and Whitney did extend some other dates. I didn't pick the first or last date she gave me. I think she gave three, and I chose the middle one in the May date. But I could go back and look and see. I think there was an April date that was provided as well. So that may be part of it. I may tomorrow find out from NBS that if we covered it this way, we could make it happen, and I'll go reach back out to the city manager and try to move it up if it's necessary or would be beneficial.
And just for your information, Whitney's out this week. So if you do need to move forward, give Bill a call.
Okay, understood, thank you.
Okay, that'll bring us now to the plan operations report. We'll go back to Michael.
Jeremy, are you going to continue sharing your screen or just, do you mind just scrolling? I can read from that.
Jeremy can. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Thank you, Jeremy. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. And this is the plant operations report for the March 1st through March 31st reporting period. The district's facility continues to meet its permit limitations as required under the state of California's MPDS permit issued to the district. Our monthly plant data for March 2021, all of our numbers continue to be well within permit limitations. Our plant's running really good right now. Some operations and maintenance tasks that staff completed were as follows. Prepared surplus items and placed on public surplus for sale. Installed rumble strips near Delta Lane access. Inspected and marked underground service alerts. Gray Lift performed an annual service on the forklift. San Luis Powerhouse performed annual maintenance on emergency generator and emergency bypass pump. We troubleshot pressure switch alarm on our secondary clarifier scum pump. SLO County Environmental Health performed an annual inspection of our treatment plant. The inspection went well, and there were no violations to report. Central Coast Fence installed new 16-foot fence at our Delta Lane entrance. We removed fixed film reactor pump and motor for servicing. We assisted with clean out of a sump near our secondary clarifier. We staged our old chemical totes in preparation for haul off, and we replaced a battery in our work vehicle. Some work orders that staff completed are flushed the sodium bisulfite header. We test ran our emergency generator and emergency bypass pump. We deragged both primary sludge pumps, rinsed surfaces of all of our clarifiers. We performed annual pump and motor maintenance throughout our plant. We inspected our digester vacuum pressure relief valves, cleaned fixed film reactor orifices, and performed an oil sample for analysis. We flushed sumps throughout our plant. Some preventative maintenance. We performed some preventative maintenance on both mechanical bar screens, our clarifier drive units, our loader, and effluent junction box cleanup and Amiad reclaim water filtration system. Some training that staff participated in was our daylight saving safety and CPR academics. And then there were no call-outs this reporting period. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm able to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Michael. Any questions for Michael?
Just a quick question, and you may have let us know this last year, but I'm just curious what daylight saving safety training
is. I was just thinking that too. What is daylight saving?
It's just kind of, you know, your body adjusting to the new times, you know, being like tired and just kind of basically that is just making sure you're well rested and just prepared for the day. Pretty much, it's as with anybody or a lot of people, you just kind of just adjusting to the new time. Longer days, stuff like that.
Okay. Thank you.
That's statistically proven that heart attacks go up on that day.
Really? So
that's more proactive than you would think.
Okay, let's open the public comment on the reports.
There is one comment from Julie Tacker.
Okay.
You are... There, unmuted?
I believe so.
Okay, good evening again, Julie Tacker. And I just wanted to circle back to the report on the Central Coast Blue test well project. I don't know if you all got to see the banners that the city of Pismo Beach invested in to hang on the sound wall. They're pretty hideous. There were two that were 20 foot by 20 foot tall and wide. The other was 50 feet by 20 feet tall, 50 feet long, 20 feet tall, 50 feet wide, 20 feet tall. So I did some research, and the combined total cost of the banners and the hardware to hang them was right about $3,500 plus Pismo Beach city staff cost. They installed them and they removed them. The problem with them, not only were, it's my opinion, they were hideous. They had five agencies' insignias on them, and we know that Oceano is not a partner. And in my opinion, the sanitation district is not a partner, so those insignias shouldn't have been there, but it just confuses the issues. But the real problem was that they violated county code. They were straight up unnecessary and they were illegal. So they were only up for a short time because you betcha I turned them in to the county for violating the construction sign ordinance. And so they had to come down. But the bigger overarching issue is that was grant money. That was grant money wasted. They should never have commissioned those ridiculous signs. So as some of you are partners in the project, I'd like you to be as diligent as I am and scrutinize these public dollars. That was Proposition 1 money, and I am a Proposition 1 taxpayer. I'm not going to benefit from the project, and nobody benefits from the signs that were ridiculous, and nobody benefits for the waste of the money. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else? Amy?
I don't see anyone else in the queue.
Okay, that will bring us to board member communications. Is there any board member communications?
Just one, not necessarily directly related to the Sand District this evening, but the City of Grover Beach is looking for to fill a vacancy on our City Council. Applications are available through this Friday at 5 p.m. And so, if any registered voter, eligible voter in that resides in Grover Beach is interested in serving the City Council, and so serving the City of Grover Beach or serving on the City Council and serving the City of Grover Beach, we would look forward to receiving your application.
Okay. Thank you. All right. If there's no other order, we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone. Any other last comments, or we just say bye-bye. Have a good time. See you when you get back, Jeremy.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.